live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. It is 1 p.m. on this Tuesday, March 20th. 2018, you are now locked into WKAR's current sports right here live on the campus of Michigan State University inside of Studio West on WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM. That's right, I am your host Al Martin, and I'm asking all you Spartan fans out there, how are you recovering? Yes, this is going to take a while to get over. I know, a long time. A long, long time, a year, maybe two, maybe three. Heck, you may not ever get over what happened this past weekend, because I truly believe it was Tom Izzo's best shot and may have been his best shot from here on out to possibly win that oh-so-sought-after second national title. Michigan State falling to Syracuse, the Orange, in the second round of the NCAA tournament. That's what the foundation of our show was based upon yesterday. Many of you called in to vent and let your thoughts and voices be heard on the matter. Many comments on our Facebook page, right underneath the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. I think that, you know, it's so crazy that that show. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that it came a day after, of course, what we saw between Michigan State and Syracuse. But that video has about 300 views on our Facebook page right now. So many of you used yesterday's current sports to vent. We will continue a bit of that today. So if you would like to chime in and give your thoughts, if you did not get a chance to on yesterday's current sports, if you want to give your thoughts on the Michigan State season ending, not even getting out of the first weekend for now the third straight year, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. As I just mentioned, our live stream is up and running for today's current sports. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. But we had so much reaction from you all yesterday and so much dialogue that we didn't get a chance to roll in a few of our locker room interviews inside of the bowels of Little Caesars Arena after that Michigan State loss. As you can imagine, the locker room was filled with a ton of emotion, a ton of tears, a ton of disappointment, some anger. I mean, you can pretty much paint that picture for yourself, right? It felt like a funeral was underway in that locker room. But today, we're going to get to a few of those locker room interviews. We talked with a few players, those players being Xavier Tillman, Nick Ward, Jaren Jackson Jr., Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nairn Jr., and Miles Bridges, who many predict that Miles has now played his final year at Michigan State and will take his talents to the next level in the NBA. And, of course, you will get a chance to hear from the head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, Tom Izzo, who I believe takes the blunt of the blame for what happened on Sunday afternoon inside of LCA. I think that's the general consensus, right? We will also, I'll also pose the question as well. You know, in that same conversation when it comes to Miles Bridges. Again, nobody expected Miles Bridges to come back for a sophomore campaign. And now that his sophomore campaign is in the books, it's pretty much a sure sign that he will now go to the NBA. But when it comes to Jaren Jackson Jr., one of the top high school basketball players in the nation before signing that national letter of intent to come to Michigan State, after what we saw happen in the second half of the Michigan State and Syracuse game, do you think the move to bench Jaren Jackson Jr. in favor of Ben Carter, do you think that that has just pushed Jaren Jackson to the NBA? If there was any chance of Jaren Jackson Jr. possibly coming back for his sophomore second-year campaign, do you think what we saw go down in the second half of that Orange and Spartan game on Sunday, do you think that just pushed Jaren Jackson out the door? What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We will also talk a bit about the Michigan Wolverines, who are still alive in the NCAA tournament, courtesy of Mr. Jordan Poole. What a shot. What a moment. That's going to be a moment that is talked about for years. I mean, when people are old and gray, they will reference that Jordan Poole shot to propel the Wolverines over Houston and into the Sweet 16 in this year, 2018. Absolutely amazing. So we'll talk about the run for the Wolverines and what we can expect from them moving forward. The Wolverines are one of my teams I have in my main bracket making it to the Final Four. It was not pretty this past weekend. Mo Wagner did not play well, but the Wolverines find a way to win. And on the back end of the show, due to time constraints yesterday, on today's Current Sports, we will have weekend winners for you, where we'll kind of get away from college basketball and I'll peg a few players and teams who had a great weekend in the sports world. That and so much more. You know what's next, though. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, and before I push forward, I want to give a big shout-out to Okemos High School, specifically Ira Childress, the Okemos High School Athletic Director, for allowing me to MC last night. Meet the Chiefs! Boy, that was fun. That was a lot of fun last night. I got a chance to rock the mic and introduce about, I'm sure, well over 200 student-athletes last night inside of the Okemos High School gym, announcing the rosters for the spring sports. I tell you what, I don't think I've ever read that many names in one day. I mean, unbelievable. And I'm surprised my voice right now isn't a bit crackly, because it was a lot of names. Let's just put it that way. But much thanks to the Chiefs. And also, I want to give, and I told him I would give him a shout out. I want to give a big shout out to Mr. Evan Buck at Okemos High School, because in the midst of reading those names, somehow, some way, I skipped over Evan's name, and he came up to me and said, "Al, I just want to check the sheet and make sure I'm on there." I'm like, "Oh my goodness, hopefully I didn't miss you." And lo and behold, I did. And I told him I would give him a shout out on today's show. So Evan Buck, shout out to you, my man. All right, moving along. Michigan signees Brandon Johns of East Lansing High School and David DeJulius of Detroit East English Village finished second and third for the Hal Schramm Mr. Basketball Award, giving to the state of Michigan's top basketball player. Clarkston, Michigan point guard Foster Lawyer who is 5'10", Rivals.com's number 61 senior nationally. He captured the honor in surprisingly convincing fashion after averaging 27 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, 3 steals, and leading his team to a 23-1 record. Lawyer received twice as many first-place votes from members of the Basketball Coaches Association of Michigan as any of the 5 finalists, totaling 3,691 points. Brandon Johns had 2,792 points, and DeJulius had 2,542. And as we all know, Foster Lawyer will be coming to Michigan State University next year. So I'm looking forward to seeing Foster play. He is a remarkable player if you haven't checked him out. All right, Eastern Michigan University is cutting 4 sports programs as part of the university's budget cuts. The university made that announcement today. According to EMU, they are eliminating softball, men's swimming and diving, women's tennis and wrestling beginning at the end of the 2018 spring season. Now, that affects 58 male student athletes and 25 female student athletes and will save the university $2.4 million. EMU now has 17 sports and will stay in the Mid-American Conference. According to the university, they will still honor all athletic scholarships for the students if they decide to remain at EMU. All right, Shea Colley. Boy, what a game she had. What a play she had to propel the Michigan State women's basketball team to a 68-66 victory over Toledo in the WNIT second round contest last night at the Breslin Center. Colley hit the game-winning shot with just under 2 seconds remaining. Colley's shot vaulted the Spartans into the third round of the WNIT, where the Spartans will travel to face South Dakota at 8 p.m. on Thursday. Colley was voted the Spartans' co-player of the year, had 12 of her 14 points in the second half, and scored the last 6 points for Michigan State. That included her late drive to the basket following that timeout that produced the winning bucket. So at least Spartan fans, Spartan hoop fans, you got one basketball team that's still in the running for some kind of championship, right? Shout out to Susie Merchant and her squad. All right, Central Michigan women's basketball extended their tournament run last night. Presley Hudson poured in 28 points. She was magnificent. Casey Breen scored 22 points, and Tanara Moore added 20 points and 10 rebounds, lifting number 11 seed CMU to a 95-78 upset of number 3 seed Ohio State in Columbus. Presley Hudson, that name should sound familiar to many of you out there who follow the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am out in Diamonddale, Michigan, because this past summer, Presley Hudson was one of really the shining stars and had everybody kind of turning their head and saying, wow, where in the world is she from? Where does she play at? Presley Hudson, such a smooth game. I remember there was even a game where Presley Hudson went back and forth with Tori Jankowska. She's so fun to watch. And also former current sports engineer Isaac Constance has a game crush on her. Isaac loves Presley Hudson's game. He actually is the one who sent me and Snapchat me highlights of her performance last night. She was magnificent. Now, CMU will face number 2 seed Oregon in Spokane, the Spokane region semifinal on Saturday at 6 p.m. The Chips knocked out LSU in the first round, 78-69. Now, against Ohio State, the Chips shot 14 for 27 from the three-point line and made 25 for 27 free throws. Absolutely amazing. So congratulations to the CMU women's basketball team. All right, Amazon Prime announced that a new documentary series following the Michigan football team will be released on April 6th, exclusively on its on-demand video network. Now, all 8 episodes of All or Nothing, The Michigan Wolverines, will be made available on Amazon Prime. It chronicles the 2017 season for Jim Harbaugh and his team and includes glimpses into the lives of the head coach, several players, including Rashawn Gary, and the day-to-day inner workings of last season. The series narrator is Mark Harmon, star of NCIS, a former quarterback at UCLA and the son of former Michigan Heisman Trophy winner Tom Harmon. So the All or Nothing series for Amazon began with following the Arizona Cardinals. Later this year, the franchise will continue with all-access look at the Dallas Cowboys. Hey, how about them Cowboys, baby? The New Zealand Blacks rugby team, and the Manchester City soccer team. All right, the Indianapolis Colts signed tight end Eric Ebron to a 2-year deal yesterday in an effort to bolster a passing offense that was among the league's worst a season ago. The deal is worth up to $15 million, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. In 4 seasons with the Lions, the 2014 first-round pick never lived up to his potential, and he was regularly booed during his final months in Detroit. The Detroit Pistons received a temporary reprieve from their road woes last night, and Blake Griffin was the catalyst. Griffin's 26 points, 9 boards, 7 assists, led the Pistons to a 106-90 dub over the Sacramento Kings at Golden 1 Center. It's the Pistons' first road win since defeating Brooklyn on January 10th. Stanley Johnson was inserted back into the starting lineup and finished with 11 points. Buddy Hield scored 20 points for the tanking Kings. And I don't know if you saw this video, engineer Ian Hawley, but there is an absolutely disgusting video that is online of 2 Sacramento Kings fans sitting there with, I kid you not, a jar of mayonnaise, and they are eating mayonnaise with nothing else. It's not like the mayonnaise is on a sandwich. It's just raw mayonnaise, you know, from the jar. They're eating it with the spoon as they enjoy the Pistons and the Kings.
That sounds like something I just don't want to watch.
I almost hurled when I saw the video online. So check it out. No, don't check it out. You may hurl on all of our equipment.
I'll check it out on an empty stomach.
Yeah, please do. It was disgusting. All right. Moving on from that story, the Detroit Red Wings are back home tonight after a lengthy stretch on the road and will be looking to snap a 10-game losing streak, possibly against a former teammate. But if their skid reaches 11 against the Philadelphia Flyers at Little Caesars Arena, that will be a 7:30 p.m. puck drop tonight. It might not be such a bad thing. The Flyers are 6 points ahead of Florida for the final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference, but the Panthers have 3 games in hand. If Philadelphia gets in the 4th-round pick the Red Wings received in the February 19th trade for goaltender Peter Mrazek becomes a 3rd-round selection. So, something on the line possibly here tonight, right? All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing.
Off of coffee and out of clear like my window. The Grammys is way too lofty, and I could stay here forever. I could die here. I don't have to try here. Can I get my 2 sugars, please? Jesus made an album, I'm still waiting in a line for cream. She dreaming Technicolor, lip black and white. Opportunity knocking. Just got her nails, no skeletons in my closet. Gonna open the door when Yale come. They ain't gonna wanna see my silhouette wrap and cognac. My smelling all black. Mississippi vagabond, granny gon' turn up in her grave and say my granny really was a slave for this. All your incompleted similes and pages ripped, you know they whipped us. How you afraid to rap and you up to heaven after so we can freedom now. Ain't no ocean floor when you can be a Jesus now.
Don't feel the light that dwells.
For Jaron, was there any particular reason he didn't play more?
Well, he was in foul trouble the first half, and it's different in the tournament. In the second half, Ben seemed to have a feel in there, which we knew he did, but it really was on the defensive end. But we did it because we got some help from our bigs, and Xavier was really good at it, and then we were moving Nick In all honesty, we put Ben in there because he had such a feel. I mean, he got some kickouts. We had some wide open looks. I mean, really good looks, and it just didn't happen.
Don't feel the light that dwells deep within.
Personally, I like expectations. You know, I've been there when we didn't have many. It's not as much fun, you know. Maybe sure. It's a little more relaxing, but it's not as much fun. And this year we have high expectations at our place, rightfully so. I just got to make sure I don't screw it up.
Don't feel the light that dwells deep within. Ooh, ooh, you are powerful beyond you.
Oh, man, I love that joint. Absolutely love that joint. I'm actually getting some comments right now from a few of you. Some of you guys happening to me into my Facebook DMs. And also, we got one comment coming below our live stream. Al, what song is this? That's my home girl, No Name. That is her artist name. No Name. She is from Chicago. She actually made her debut on Chance the Rapper's coloring book. She's from Chicago, Illinois. And I heard this song actually on the season finale of the Showtime show, The Chi, which closes out the season. So shout out to No Name. She is a very talented 26-year-old artist who started off as a spoken word poet. So shout out to No Name. Shout out to No Name. Well, you just heard intermixed with this joint. And that joint is also called Reality Check. It also features Aaron Allen, Kane, and Akenya doing the vocals. So intermixed with that joint, the voice of Tom Izzo. And, you know, we have been dissecting this game since, of course, yesterday's current sports, Michigan State falling to Syracuse in the second round of the NC2A tournament at Little Caesars Arena. Many of you shocked. Many people had Michigan State going deep in the tournament. But the dance is now over. The music has stopped. And one of the big questions coming out of that game was, why, oh, why, Tom, did you decide to bench Nick Ward and Jaren Jackson Jr. in favor of Ben Carter in crunch time? And I explained the rationale behind it, and Tom Izzo actually let it be known that they were going to play Ben Carter in the middle of that zone because they trusted his passing ability and decision-making and also his ability to knock down that 15-foot jump shot, which could have opened up some things in attacking that Syracuse zone. The thing is, Ben Carter looked way too indecisive in taking that shot. He only took two shots the entire game. He nailed a few passes here and there to open Michigan State players. They just could knock. They could not knock down jump shots, which hurt. So it was a combination because, you know, I'm a firm believer. If it's broke, you got to fix it, right? And if it wasn't working with Ben Carter in the middle, and if he looked indecisive, you got to go with the workhorses who have gotten you to this point. And two of those players are, without a doubt, Jaren Jackson Jr., the Big Ten Freshman Player of the Year, also the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, and Nick Ward, who has been great really all year. He's had some up and down inconsistencies at time, but for the most part, Nick Ward has had a solid season. But it rubbed many the wrong way, including myself, to see Jaren Jackson Jr. sit on the bench and rot in favor of Ben Carter, who hasn't really gotten much playing time all season. I understand the frustration there, and this loss falls primarily on the shoulders of Tom Izzo. And he didn't shy away from that after the game. And you just heard his answer. Why did Jaren Jackson Jr. not play more? And he gave you the answer that I just explained. But the question I also ask, I want to pose this question to you all because I didn't get a chance to do that on yesterday's current sports. But, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr., Jaren was a five-star, wasn't he?
Yes, sir.
Five-star recruit.
He was a McDonald's All-American, too, I believe.
McDonald's All-American, just like Miles Bridges. And
Winston and Langford as well.
Exactly. All of them. But Jaren, in particular, because he was one of the top 10, you know, high school players coming out. And he decided to make that decision to come to Michigan State. And and I've heard this point made a lot since Sunday evening. You know, if you're Jaren Jackson Jr., and if there was any notion or any thought that you may want to come back and play for a second season, a sophomore campaign run, much like we just saw from Miles Bridges, who, again, I think is done. Miles is going to the NBA. But if there was any inkling that you know, any doubt in Jaren's mind that, maybe I want to stay. Maybe I need to work on some things. Maybe I want to stay here at Michigan State. I'm enjoying myself. But watching what happened in that second half, and knowing that one of your best players on the roster is just sitting there on the bench watching the final moments of this NCAA tourney run, which many thought was going to be a special one for Michigan State. And he sat on the bench. Do you think that just pushed Jaren Jackson Jr. out the door to the NBA? Do you think that decision to sit Jaren Jackson Jr. just made him say, all right, I'm chucking up the deuces, I am gone? What do you think about that? Because I tell you what, it would be a bit unnerving for me if I was Jaren, because you want to play in those big moments. That's what it's all about, right? You want to be in the game. You are a big-time player, and you watched from the bench. This is going to take a long time for Michigan State fans to get over. You won't be over this next week, 2 weeks from now, 2 months from now. I don't even know if you'll be over this a year from now, because of the potential that this team had. Now, before we roll in some of these interviews, and I'm actually going to do that after the first break in. I want to table the interviews just for now. We're going to get to those in just a second. But, you know, you and I talked after yesterday's show, and you actually came in with, and I kid you not, Ian walked in and he did his homework. I mean, you were obsessed with just trying to put things into context, right? And you wrote like four or five pages of notes about Tom Izzo's history and what Tom has done in his career and whatnot, right? And we talked about what happened on Sunday. We were both there. We were sitting courtside. We were in the locker room. We talked with Izzo. We talked with the players. And what has been created here, we touched a bit on this on yesterday's Current Sports. What has been created here is a culture that expects excellence. Tom Izzo, 7 Final Fours, multiple trips to the Sweet 16. He has won a national championship. He has won, you know, multiple Big Ten championships, regular season championships, Big Ten tournament championships. The expectation right now in his career is national championship. That is that's like the only thing left for Tom Izzo to really accomplish. I mean, this dude just went into the Basketball Hall of Fame not too long ago with players like Shaquille O'Neal and Allen Iverson. That's the only thing missing now, is that second national championship, to, in many ways, to validate what he has built here at Michigan State in the eyes of you, Spartan fans. And that's an expectation that Michigan State fans should want, because you want to be in the conversation of the Dukes, of the North Carolinas. You want to be in that conversation because that is a realm that separates the good from the great. But when you come up short, you got to understand that fans are going to hold you accountable, especially when you have arguably the best roster that we've ever seen in Michigan State men's basketball history, talent-wise. If you come up short, you got to face the music. You got to face the music. And I think that's what many Spartan fans are doing right now. You are holding your team accountable, and I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that whatsoever. Ian, I wanted to give you a bit of a forum here before we hit this first break to talk about what you prepped and what you took away from that prep and bring some perspective to this conversation in your eyes.
So as far as the criticisms of Tom Izzo this year with this team, I agree with almost all of them. I think this loss to Syracuse is worse than the Middle Tennessee State loss a few years ago. Purely because that game can be kind of chalked up as a fluke. I mean, what team shoots 65-70% from the three-point line on a nightly basis, you know? But with the Syracuse loss, we were clearly outcoached, and we clearly had the better team. I mean, you have four McDonald's All-Americans on your starting lineup. You should win that game over the final team to make it into the NCAA tournament.
And we know what's also about what's amazing about that, too. If you look at four of the five starters, a stat that I keep, you know, going over and over and over in my head about, Nick Ward, well, is the exception. Nick Ward is the exception. But Jaren Jackson Jr., Miles Bridges, Cassius Winston, and Josh Langford, all four combined to shoot 9 for 46. That can't happen.
No.
That can't happen either. And they had good looks. But proceed.
And some of that can be put on the players. I mean, you said yesterday you give 70% of the blame to Izzo and 30 to the players.
70-30.
And
right.
I would agree with that. It's hard for Izzo to make shots from the bench, you know? He can't shoot the ball for the players. But as far as the calls for Izzo to be fired, let's just take a step back and assess the situation. So Tom Izzo has been the coach for 23 years now at Michigan State, the successor to Judd Heathcoat. He has been to the NCAA tournament 21 straight times. That number is only passed by Duke and Kentucky, I believe, Duke and North Carolina, as far as number of tournament appearances in a row. He's had 7 Final Four appearances, 8 Big Ten regular season titles, 3 of them outright, including this year's 2018 Big Ten regular season title. He's had 5 Big Ten tournament championships. He's only the 5th coach in Big Ten history to win 7 conference titles. He's won the USA Basketball Writers Association Coach of the Year Award. He's a 2-time NABC Coach of the Year. He's a 3-time Big Ten Coach of the Year. And just to put it in perspective for fans who still aren't with me on this one, he's 2-5 in the Final Four. But how many other coaches can you name that have made anywhere close to 7 Final Fours? Mm-hmm. I mean, people like to compare him to John Beilein down the road. So let's compare Tom Izzo to another culture of success that has been built at Michigan, the Michigan football program. If you look at the Michigan football program, they had Lloyd Carr as their head coach from 1995 to 2007. Mm-hmm. In 162 games at Michigan, he went 122-40 and was consistently winning 10 games a season at the end of his career. But the Michigan fan base wasn't happy enough with that. They were dissatisfied that he had lost a couple bowl games or hadn't beaten his rival in the year or whatever the case may have been. And then they went on a stretch where they hired Rich Rodriguez, Brady Hoke, and now Jim Harbaugh. And clearly they have not lived up to the same standards that even Lloyd Carr had put out for the Michigan football team. So good luck finding a replacement for Tom Izzo that would live up anywhere close to the level of success that he's had and maintained consistently each year for this program. I know people want to talk about the last 3 tournament exits. Again, in 2016, that was a fluke. Mm-hmm. I think if we played that game 9 more times, we would win all 9 of them, and that was the 1 out of 10 that Middle Tennessee State won. I think the team last year was too young and underprepared for the tournament.
Right.
And I think this team this year just didn't have that killer instinct that a national championship or a Final Four team needs to be able to get there. I mean, you look at that 2015 run.
This team was overrated. When you really look at things, I got backlash for this, for saying, you know, when they got eliminated by Michigan in the Big Ten tournament semifinals, I went on the air and said, when you look at Michigan State's overall body of work, the fact that they play in the Big Ten Conference, this year being a down year, they really weren't tested. Let's keep it real here. And when they did play some of the big dogs in the world of college basketball this year, they didn't win. They didn't have success. Duke, losing to Duke earlier this year. I thought Michigan State would at least play Duke in the NCAA tournament. And I had Michigan State going out in that Sweet 16 matchup against the Duke Blue Devils, who actually ran a zone against Michigan State earlier this season. But when they played Duke, loss, played Michigan twice, one of the top upper echelon teams of the NCAA tournament, in the Big Ten Conference, lost twice to them. That's the thing. When you play in a conference that doesn't have many Big Ten tournament teams, NCAA tournament teams, when you play some of the big dogs who make the NCAA tournament, there's going to be all eyes on you, and you have to perform. Michigan State, what, only beat three tournament teams this season? That's it. Just three.
And out of the Big Ten Conference, we only beat Purdue.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you beat Purdue and Bucknell, and I don't even know who the third team is, but I saw that set saying Michigan State has only beaten three NCAA tournament teams this entire season. And then you add all of the distraction away from the court. Now, I think that hurt as well. But this is going to hurt for a while. This will be looked back at and analyzed, and many people will pick this apart. And to keep that all in perspective as well, when you talk about Tom Izzo, sure, all that he's done, and that's why I say I don't think the man should be fired. If anything, he go out on his own terms. He's done so much for the Michigan State community. He's done so much for the city of East Lansing. He's done so much for this university. He shouldn't just be thrown away like secondhand trash. I mean, it makes no sense to me. I think that's going way too far. However, I do think that it's fair to have the conversation whether or not Tom Izzo's coaching style is a bit old school and has passed him up a bit. I don't think that's a conversation. It's like, what, Al? You're crazy, Al. I don't think that's a conversation that is nonsense. Because three straight years now where Michigan State has not gotten out of the first weekend. That's alarming. Let's hit our first break. If you want to chime in, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. When we come back, we will have locker room interviews from the Michigan State players and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, continuing with the tourney talk centered on the Michigan State men's basketball loss to Syracuse in the second round. Right now, I want to get to a few locker room interviews that we conducted at Little Caesars Arena after the dust had settled in that Spartan loss to the Orange. We'll start with Xavier Tillman. We talk with X-Man first after the game, and you know, as soon as we walked in, X was already in tears talking with the media, and it was really hard for him to compose himself. But you know, that's what you that's what we expected walking in that locker room, a team that had so many lofty goals and had a goal of a national championship. That's what happens. But here is Tillman after the loss to Syracuse.
Hell of a season. For the young guys, it's a learning mistake. We gotta learn from this and just apologize to the older guys.
Did any of the players speak after the game?
Tom did. Tom talked about how life is bigger than this. You know, none of us have cancer or anything like that. We're going to live to see another day. So we can't live by wins and losses. We just have to keep it moving.
Are the tears for the potential that this team has?
Yeah, the seniors. I mean, I've created real relationships with these guys, real brotherhood relationships, and not being able to play with them anymore is really hard.
Do you think it's shots not falling or a game plan that could have been different? What do you think in this initial moment?
Definitely shots not falling. 8 for 37 from the 3-point line is really bad. So shots not falling.
Did they seem to lock down more as the game went on? It seemed like early on you guys did have some success against them.
I just felt like we were too passive. We weren't aggressive enough. We didn't try to attack the zone. Instead, we tried to just look for open shots. So I think we just weren't aggressive enough, as you told.
Xavier Tillman after the loss to Syracuse for the Michigan State men's basketball team. And I tell you what, Tillman, in my estimation, Ian, had a really good tournament. Those two games, I mean, he came in, especially the game against Bucknell. I mean, Tillman came in, gave you good minutes, played great defense, specifically against Nana Fowlin in that matchup against the Bison. He played well. He snagged double-digit boards in the loss to Syracuse. I thought he was really a great spark plug off the bench for Michigan State. I had no problems with the way Tillman played, and I think Tillman is going to be a pretty big factor and a pretty big component to this team come next season. But, you know, that's the thing. I mean, when you talk about being a young pup, being a freshman, and being so close as this team was, you want to win for the seniors. You want to win for guys like Lou Rawls, Tum-Tum Naren Jr. You want to win for guys like Gavin Schilling, who didn't see 1 minute of play against Syracuse on Sunday. But that's what really choked up Tillman, because he's going to miss that camaraderie that he has with those seniors, and he wanted to win for those seniors. Here is Nick Ward now. Ward, of course, one of the players who did not get inserted in late game situation, just like Jaren Jackson Jr. Nick Ward is a player who's been pretty solid in my estimation all year. He played 16 minutes. Both Jaren Jackson Jr. and Nick Ward got less minutes than Ben Carter, who played 23. Here is Nick Ward at his locker room after the loss to the Orange.
No, that's too soon. You know, just got done with the game. I'm not thinking about that really.
What they did in terms of pushing you guys out early on, they seemed to take away, it seemed almost everything. Did it feel like that out there?
You know, they had a tough zone. You know, they were one of the biggest teams in the country, but I feel like we started to get adjusted to it. But, you know, shots are supposed to fall.
I think you guys missed the last 14 shots.
Yeah.
What happened at the end? Was it Syracuse defense?
I wouldn't say it's defense. I say we just didn't make shots. You know, this was one of them days, and you know, one of them days cost us the game.
Nick, what was said after this game? What was the locker room like? I'm pretty sure the captain spoke, and maybe you had a few words.
Well, we just gotta keep our heads high. You know, everybody in here is healthy. You know, and you know, Tom's words was nobody in here is dying or anything. So you know, it's another game, but you know, it hurts. You know, it's our last game of the season, so. I'm going to say positive about things.
Is this
30-5? How do you sum up this season?
Well, you know, last year, you know, we finished what 20-15, so I feel like, you know, this season was a big improvement, you know, for all of us. This is one of the best teams I ever played on, the best team I ever played on, and you know, it just hurts to, like, you know, get knocked out the second round.
But, falling here in the second round, is the season a disappointment?
No. No, you know, we had a whole lot of accomplishments during the season. This is, you know, we just lost the game.
What's the future for this team? Obviously, there's a lot of decisions to be made. What I think from those two guys, that maybe, and yourself, what decisions do you think you'll make?
You know, it's too soon to tell. You know, I just got done playing the game. You know, I'm not thinking about that right now.
So, I mean, obviously, if you do come back next year, could be a lot different. I mean, how do you carry what you felt today and next year?
You know, I'm always gonna stick with my dogs. You know what I mean? Through thick and thin. But you know, the decision too soon. Right now, I'm just sat down with the game.
Nick, what about the zone? Tell me, how did it really give you guys trouble today?
You know, they're a big zone. You know, they're one of the biggest teams in the country. You know, it rattled us at first, but you know, we got used to it. You know, shots just didn't fall.
What was the message at halftime?
We get good shots. We're just not making them. You know, it was going to make our free throws, really. You know, everything else we did good. You know, our defensive principles, we did everything right. You know, just didn't make shots.
Some of the lineups were different than what we had seen.
Yeah.
How come, you know, you weren't in there in the final moments and, you know, coach made those decisions? You know,
coach went more of a defensive team. And, you know, that five was working at the time. So that's the best five that I was working for coach. So he went to that five in.
Nick, how difficult was it for you sitting as a bench watching
it? Well, you know, of course I wanted to play, but, you know, coach wanted that five in, so we had to go with his decision.
Nick, you guys obviously made it clear it was national championship or bust. Now that it's over, does that weigh even heavier than that was the ultimate goal?
I wouldn't say it weighs heavier, but, you know, something that we wanted, You know, something we wanted bad, but you know, this season wasn't a disappointment. You know, we went 30-5. You know, we won the Big Ten. You know, this season was a disappointment at all.
This season was not a disappointment at all. I think that's just players speak after a loss. It definitely was a disappointment. When you have lofty goals and expectations of winning a national championship and you go out in the first weekend, not only that, but you couple that with the fact that you played basically a home game in Detroit, downtown Detroit, at Little Caesars Arena, that's a failure. That's a failure. You best believe when they hopped on that bus to head back to East Lansing, they talked about how this season was a failure. Let's keep it all the way 100 here. But that's Nick Ward there discussing and trying to put his emotions in perspective after that loss. Jaren Jackson Jr. Will Jaren Jackson Jr. come back? I asked that question to Jaren, and here is how that interaction went after the loss to Syracuse.
We haven't had a really, I mean, if you look at our games, we don't have like a consistent rotation because we have so many guys that can do so many things. So there really wasn't nothing to it. And I think that's how it is with every team in the tournament. There's no rotation. It's just whoever's out there, you know, keep them out there.
How do you guys feel you did in the high post today? It seemed like you were opening up.
Tried, you know. I don't really know. I got to look at it. I probably won't look at it, but, you know.
What's the frustration level when you see ball around the corner? I mean, wherever you're really going to bat, whether in the court.
It's just a little, you know, it gets to you a little bit. You know, you got to have short-term memory and move on, but when they're not falling consistently, it's just that's how it is, you know. You can't, there's no real reason why they just did fall.
Jaren, with everything that's happened this year, off the court, on the court, how do you want this team to be remembered?
I think we just put it out there, honestly. Just look at how we carried ourselves throughout the year. I mean, there's not one time when we were disrespectful to anybody on and off the court. We played hard. We stuck together through everything, and it was everything. So, I mean, there's no excuse to that at all. I mean, we're as close a group as you can have. And this is a special group, you know. We didn't do all we wanted to do, obviously, but we're a special group and we're not putting our heads down.
Not sure if somebody's already asked you this, but have you thought about your future with this team or taking your talents to the next level at all?
No, I haven't thought about it. I'm still just here in the locker room trying to process the game, so I ain't thinking about it.
So, yeah, Jaren Jackson Jr. has, as you just stated, didn't think about or hadn't thought about in that moment, you know, whether or not he would return for a second season at Michigan State University. But I'm sure that's heavy on his mind right now, and I'm sure we'll get an answer soon. But and same thing with Miles Bridges. I mean, you know, neither one of them commented on whether or not they would be leaving to go to the NBA. And even for Nick Ward, I mean, you know, maybe Nick Ward is pondering things a bit, you know, whether or not to leave Michigan State and test out the NBA waters. But, you know, again, I asked the question that I asked at the top of the hour. With how things went down in the second half, Jaren Jackson Jr. riding the bench in favor of Ben Carter, do you think that coaching decision from Tom Izzo has now just pushed Jaren Jackson Jr. out the door to go to the NBA? What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Ray, I do see you on line one. Going to get to you in just a moment. But before I do want to play two more bites. This one coming from a player that I am certainly going to miss. No, he did not light up the scoreboard on a game-by-game basis. But this dude was clearly the leader of this team for the past 4 years. An emotional leader, a spiritual leader. He was one of my favorite interviews and one of my favorite players. Maybe my favorite player that I've ever covered in covering Michigan State sports. That being Lou Rawls, Tum Nairn Jr. Here is Tum after the loss.
You know, but this part of our life, it sucks. You know, playing because we play basketball and you lose a game, especially when you had hopes of, you know, playing in the Final Four, winning the national championship. Then you lose a game, and it really sucks. But I told the guys afterwards, pick your head up. You know, nobody in here is fighting cancer.
Nobody here is homeless. You know, everybody got, you know, clothes on their back, shoes on their feet, and food on the table. So it's kind of hard to put it in perspective like that, but that's the reality of life, man. And I'm so proud to be a part of Michigan State, man. This program is giving me things that I couldn't even imagine or dreamed of when I was growing up. So, I mean, we were expected to do a lot of things, but we had expectations of ourselves. And did we come through? No, we didn't. But we shouldn't put our heads down, and we won't.
What, you know, the open threes were one thing. What was the game plan to try to attack the zone?
I just didn't move the ball and, you know, try to get open shots. And I felt like we did, but we just didn't make it. And in this tournament, you know, you can't survive in advance. And if you don't survive, then you go home. And, you know, unfortunately, we didn't do that today.
And so I'm speaking of those expectations.
Uh-huh.
Would you consider this season a disappointment?
No, sir. Not at all. Especially, you know, with the things we were able to do this year. Like I said, I feel like it was the best year since I've been here. You always in life, man, and anything you do, you always set a goal for yourself. And if you don't achieve that goal, that doesn't necessarily mean you're a failure. It just means you gotta see what you didn't do as well and go back so you can fix it. And like I said, man, I'm so proud of these guys, man. And I'm so proud to be able to say I played for Michigan State. It's been a blessing, something I couldn't even dream of.
Is that what makes it so hard, is knowing you don't have another chance to go back out?
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard, don't get me wrong, but, you know, still got a lot of life to live. And, you know, I just hope, you know, now that I'm on the outside, I can be able to, you know, give, you know, nuggets to the guys that, you know, all these guys I'm so proud of, you know. Yeah, just think, you know, 10 years ago I moved away from home and I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know what to expect. I just, you know, jumped on a leap of faith. And if I could write this myself, I couldn't. That's how I knew it was God's plan for my life. And, you know, I know my mom and my family and everybody back home is so proud for me. Most importantly, I think God is really proud also. I've been able to just have an impact on people's lives that I never even thought I would be in.
Tom, with everything that's happened this year, even the off-the-court stuff and the noise, how do you want this team to be remembered?
I want this team to be remembered as a team that, you know, could still stick together through times of adversity. Because, you know, it's easy to, you know, be up when everything's going good. But when everybody is throwing different things about you, things that's not true, you know, it's hard to stay together as a collective group. And I think what we did this year was we stuck together through it all, the good times, the bad times, the ups, the downs. We just stayed together like this. And that's what, you know, Spartan Nation is all about. Being a Spartan is all about, you know, picking up each other. And that's what we did. So I would say just a team who continued to grow through adversity and, you know, always stuck together no matter what.
I mean, you can hear the leadership bleeding through your speakers there, right? Lou Ross, Tum Tum Naeran Jr., born and raised in the Bahamas, coming to the States and becoming one of the best leaders we have seen in Michigan State sports history. Really going to miss Tum. And last but not least, Miles Bridges, a player that we all expect pretty much to take his talents now to the NBA after really shocking the college basketball world and coming back for a second year. Here is what Miles Bridges had to say after the loss to Syracuse.
Just bonding and friendships that we made. We're going to have that for our lives, the rest of our lives. And that's going to be really special to us.
Miles, with all the distractions, do you feel like this team handled it the best that it could?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we won 6 road games with all the distractions going on. And that's the best we could do.
Bob, knowing what you know now, any regrets for coming back for next season?
No, I don't have any regrets. I gave it my all this year. My teammate, we all gave it our all. We only lost 5 games. So it's tough.
Is this what's worst about this? What were you, 30-5, and you feel so crummy after winning 30 out of 35 games?
Yeah, we didn't win the big one. And that's all we really wanted to do. We knew we were going to win games, but when it came down to winning the big game, we couldn't do it, so that hurts really bad.
Miles, Cassius said that you felt like you had the weight of the world on your shoulders after this one. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely feel like I let my team down. I could have made some plays, could have got some rebounds. But yeah, life goes on, man.
when Cassius throws that last second heave in the air, what's going through your mind?
I for sure thought he was going to make it. March Madness, anything goes. When he missed, it was life-changing for me.
In what ways?
In what ways? Just, I don't know. You know me. I'm never really sad, ever. Right now, I'm really, really, really sad. But I'm just going to keep my head up and keep going.
Might be even tougher tomorrow to wake up and realize there's no practice to go to.
Yeah, it's going to be tough watching that film.
Yeah.
I really don't want to watch the film. But in order for me to get over this, which I probably won't, I'm going to have to watch it and continue to get better.
When was the last time you felt like this?
Probably never felt like this before.
Yeah, you can hear the sadness and the disappointment in the voice of Bridges. And if anything alludes to Bridges leaving after this season, the part of that snippet where he says when Cassius threw up that last second heave to possibly win the game and it didn't go in, that was, quote, life-changing, end quote, for him. Line one, Ray from Indiana to close out the show. Ray, we got 1 minute. What's on your mind, my man?
Skipper, let's start with the bullies. I cannot believe that coach for Houston. He gets a foul with 3.4 seconds. They go down the other end, miss both free throws, okay? Mm-hmm. I can't blame the coach for that. But I can blame him for not putting a man on the guy throwing the ball in and making him throw the ball up half court. That's the only way they could have got down the floor in 3.4 seconds.
Yeah, so you wanted them to guard. I've heard this opinion a lot. Guard the inbounds pass, right?
Yeah, well, hey, and you don't let them throw the ball half court either. I mean, did they watch Leitner? Did they watch Beilein blow one to Ohio State about 10 years ago?
Right.
And the guy threw up a half court shot because they didn't put nobody on him to dribble up the court?
Right. No, I hear you.
It's
totally
crazy coaching in front of Michigan State.
Right.
You knew you couldn't put the ball in the ocean, okay, going into the game. You took up all them threes, had 27 offensive rebounds. They just couldn't put the ball in the basket.
That's what it comes down to, Ray. If you want to win around this time of the year, you got to put the ball in the basket, right?
Yep.
All right. Buddy. Ray, thank you so much, man. Yeah, that's about as simple as you can put it, right? Put the ball in the basket. Again, I'm going 70-30 here. Most of this falls on the shoulders of Tom Izzo, but Michigan State, my goodness, did they miss some shots, right? All right. As you continue to recover from what happened on Sunday afternoon, we'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. I'm your host, Al Martin, reminding you all to always be easy, people.